We're here with Atri Chatterjee, Senior Vice President of Marketing for Secure Computing. Atri, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Listen, maybe if you could, give us an idea of what some of the major business drivers are out there, especially as they concern financial institutions for information security.
Right. So I think the key thing to keep in mind is for financial institutions is that today's threat environment is primarily financially motivated. So unlike, say, 5 or 10 years ago when people used to hack into systems to prove that they could get into something, a large majority, if I would say 95 or 99% of the threat environment today is all about how do I financially benefit from cracking into something, and effectively that results in someone gaining at someone else's expense. So financial institutions are unfortunately the targets of most of today's threats, either directly or through their customers.
Sure, sure. Well, with them holding the money, obviously that's a big target. Most definitely, we're aware of that. How are you positioning the company and its solutions to, you know, address these sort of broad issues?
Right. So one of the big trends in today's threat environment, and in addition to just being financially motivated, is that they evolve rapidly, right? So we call it sort of the evolving threat environment, and the problem there is that every time one comes up with defenses, these folks have been able to figure out ways to thwart those defenses. And so today's predominance of today's activity is through using unsuspecting networks of people. So your PC, my PC, others being essentially taken over by someone else remotely, and we join something that's known as a botnet. So these evolving threats, what ends up happening is that they morph from one domain to another, from multiple machines, etc. And it's very difficult to use more traditional ways of securing your enterprise to guard against this. So you've got multiple problems going on. On the one hand, you've got different attacks coming from different locations, coming from innocent machines, for the most part, who have been taken over. And the other one is that sometimes inside your own organization, unknowns to yourself, you may have computers that have fallen victim to this. So it's really important that as we approach these solutions is that we look at this sort of rapidly evolving environment and figure out how best to protect against that. And what that ends up being is that, you know, in addition to using traditional mechanisms of protection, you have to look at ways in which you can provide immediate protection even without knowing, say, that what the threat is going to look like. Mm-hmm. So people often call this proactive protection, anticipatory protection, etc., zero day, etc. And that's very hard to do. One of the things that we've done is that we've spent a lot of effort in technology that effectively does this, and we call that global reputation technology. And effectively what that does is augments existing local technology to also provide this reputation protection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe you could just briefly expound on what that global reputation protection entails.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that accomplished?
Right. I think the easiest way to think about global reputation is that think about it as sort of a satellite early warning system and a satellite defense mechanism. The way it we have a product or a system called Trusted Source. It's probably the biggest global reputation network in the market today. And really, it's quite straightforward. The way it works is that it sort of has a view of all the network traffic going on the internet. Mm-hmm. The way it collects this is through lots of different sources. Traditionally, ISPs provide information, collector information pools out there provide that information, but our own security appliances that are deployed in companies provide this information. And over time, what we've done is we've got a real-time view of where traffic is originating on the internet, particularly malicious traffic. And what ends up happening is that all of our security appliances that protect corporate networks refer to the global reputation system and ask it, you know, have you seen bad traffic originating from this IP address or from this domain or from this URL? And depending on what the reputation system tells it, it could either block the traffic or let it go in for future analysis, right? So this global reputation system is not a substitute for localized protection, but it augments localized protection. And here's where it really comes in useful. Think about this botnet environment where, you know, you've got these armies of sort of like unknown computers basically getting shanghaied by other people, by malicious people, and being used to launch an attack. What the global reputation system, where it comes in, is that it can immediately see patterns of traffic that are suddenly changing in real time and inoculate all of these different appliances that we have running in front of corporate networks and say, you know, we see a lot of like a surge in activity from these particular nodes, and you should exercise caution and immediately block traffic or quarantine traffic coming from those locations. Now, you can't do this without a global reputation network, and the reason for that is that because more traditional approaches involve signatures. So you have to see an attack, you have to try to look at the attack, characterize it, develop an antidote for that, and that typically takes hours, days, and so on. You don't have that time now. And what you need is to be able to notice strange patterns developing, just like an early warning weather system, and inoculate immediately or quarantine immediately so that you can do future analysis on that quarantine stuff before it gets into your network. So that's an example of sort of like global reputation being a unique sort of capability and really necessary in the way we've got these evolving threats and how to protect against these evolving threats.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you started to address my next question, which was how this solution is differentiated from, you know, other offerings out there. But is there anything you want to add as far as how it is?
I think there are a couple of, you know, if you look at the secret sauce that we have in our company, we've got sort of three things that really are our keys to our success here. One is the global reputation system, and that has been incorporated into all of our products. So all of our security solutions that sit on the enterprise network use these use the global reputation system. So be they our anti-spam email appliances, our web security appliances, our firewalls also. We're the only company in the world that has a firewall that uses global reputation to do connection control at the firewall level. So if clearly bad traffic is coming in, say from a known botnet in Russia or something, we'll stop that traffic without even letting it into your network. So that's one thing.
Right.
The other key piece is in today's world of Web 2.0, which is this whole sort of interactive nature of the web, the concept of browsing the internet is quite different now. You've got live content that's actually running around on the internet. Your browser, effectively unknowns to you, is actually probably executing JavaScript or small pieces of code on your desktop. And what that has done is also enabled a new type of threat to come in called malware. And typically what that is in the form of JavaScript or ActiveX or whatever that comes into your network. One of the other key pieces of technology that we have is what we call anti-malware. The ability to detect based on behavior of the content that's coming in, whether it could be potentially bad or not. So in addition to global reputation, we've got this anti-malware capability. And the third thing that is really key to us is that, you know, we've sort of taken this whole concept of traditional firewalling to the next level, where we actually also look at application traffic. So firewalls typically just dealt with network traffic. They looked at, you know, sort of what types of bytes were coming in, but they really didn't try to see what types of applications were running on your network and to really control those applications. And our firewall is called an application level firewall because it does that. So in today's world, once again, you've got live content, you've got applications that are running on a network. Think about all the companies that are enabling, and say in the financial world, banks that are enabling customers to get access to their accounts, enabling customers to do various things. So those are actually sophisticated applications. Back there's a database running inside the bank that is making this information available, etc. What that also means is that you can have all sorts of malicious things happening that could try to take advantage and you know, try to cripple that database or try to, you know, overflow the database or extract data from that database. That involves You know, different types of, say, SQL commands and things like that that are sent over, our system knows how to basically protect against that also. So once again, you're talking about global reputation, anti-malware, and application-level protection, which has gone beyond just simple network-level protection. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of the three core things that we look at as protection in today's enterprise gateway.
That's fantastic. Do you have any advice for financial institutions in particular as far as sort of grappling with these issues? Any parting words?
Yeah. I think here's a couple of things to look at. One is, clearly, there's no substitute for process and procedure, because no amount of technology is going to solve everything. So I think it's important for security practitioners inside financial institutions to, one, you know, keep their processes and procedures up to date and make sure that their users follow certain guidelines, etc. And user training is a very important part of that.
Right.
But the second one is also to keep in mind the fact that, you know, people are going to use the latest technology that's available to them. So think about this Web 2.0 environment, right? You can't really stop people from using Web 2.0 because it's prevalent all around us. So rather than trying to, while I think it's important to educate people and set up processes and procedures, it's also important to make sure that you get the appropriate level of protection commensurate with the types of technology people are using, right? So a lot of people will, you know, we've done a study with Forrester Research recently that where people, a lot of IT environments thought that they didn't have a lot of Web 2.0 being used inside their environment. But when an actual audit was done, it was found that unbeknownst to them, a lot of the things that people were using were actually utilizing Web 2.0 technologies. Things as simple as going to Yahoo or going to Google,
right,
where, you know, there was a lot of use of Web 2.0 technologies in there, and really a lot of openings for malware to come into their environment. So really what they need to do is saying, okay, let's assume that Web 2.0 types of things are being used in my environment. How do I protect against it? Because I'm not able to, like, you know, just do so by just telling people not to use it.
Sure. Sounds like good advice.
Yeah.
Autry, thanks for your time. Have a good show.
Great. Thanks, Nick.
All right. Bye-bye.